Welcome to Vetted. And today we are talking with one of my oldest technology friends. Lisa Francisco Voss is Executive Director of EdTech and Strategic Innovation at the Franklin Pierce School District. I met Lisa when I was a baby tech director, and she found out I was taking over and leading tech and reached out, and you reached out to me, yep. I know that, and said, how can I help? And then we ended up on some boards together, some executive committees, and had a similar passion for different products. And today, I really want to talk about the issue of being a woman and a woman of color in the technology profession, because I got to witness one of the most astounding things. Lisa and I were at a OEM's K-12 advisory committee, maybe a dozen of us on the committee, I want to say. And the way we were situated was Lisa was like a conference table. Lisa was directly opposite of me, but quite a ways away. And so we could see each other. And we had a common issue. We had talked about it prior. And I asked you, Lisa, to bring it up. We agreed you were going to do it.
Yes.
But when she brought it up to the OEM's president, the whole executive crew was there. She was talking about the issue, and she pointed out that Mark has the same issue. My memory is he spun, looked right at me, and then began talking to me about the issue and totally turned his back to you and totally ignored you. And my jaw dropped. And it was like, I can't believe that just happened. So that was my high getting to Lisa moment. And really, the word privilege is the word we use today. But it was astounding to me. There's so many other things in dealing with in that trip, actually, that we could share that were astounding. But being a woman and a woman of color, you face obstacles I don't face. I have the advantage of walking in and being accepted. And I recognize that, but I'm also fascinated what the rest of us can do about this issue. So Lisa, first off, welcome.
Thanks.
And could you tell us a little bit about your journey to this big title you have now?
So I am Lisa Francisco Voss, 20 plus years in ed tech. I was a teacher. I was a former nurse. And then a former teacher, a former professor in Pierce College community, and then university, I should say, and then went back as the IT technology manager, promoted from that to the director, and then promoted from the director to CTO. And my superintendent and I were just talking about, you know, removing the word chief. The word chief actually has a sacred meaning to it. And so I, as someone that is very aware of our ethnicity, what's sacred to us, and I wanted to drop that word chief so that I could be more respectful of that name. And also wanting to really intentionally share with people what I do outside just the infrastructure of technology. So it's been a journey here in Franklin Pierce School District, but I have really learned a lot and partnered with organization. I'm also a current president, board president for NCCE, also the ex officio board member for WSIPSE, our student information systems, HR and finance. And I'm a cabinet leader for this district. So quite a bit of, and former a board member for Eatonville School District. So I do have quite a bit of a diverse experience on what we're going to be talking about today. It really did take bravery, courage, and really pushing back, calling in and calling out people. Because it's really not about the being ignorant, it's about really accepting the history and really understanding the history and what it can do to harm people, and really being more aware and educated.
Well, first, thank you, because I've already learned something today.
Yes. What was that?
The idea of chief being disrespectful.
Yeah.
As we're sitting here within a few miles of the Puyallup Tribal Lands, and having worked in a district that was largely tribal, we had the title chief. But never considered that. I it, again, it's not about right or wrong. It's learning.
Correct. Yes.
And considering it.
And accepting that, right? And really open your mind and open your heart to what is really out there and really learn. I mean, I love learning. I think that's probably why I've been in here for so long. It's because I just love to learn and growing. So, yeah. Yeah.
Well, thanks for that introduction. So, working your way up.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to speak, you know, this district has been so great to you, right? And you and I have talked about that, and they're doing whatever they can to make sure you stay here, basically.
Yes.
But individuals, vendors, you know, let's talk about vendors in general.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Let's talk about vendors. I have lots of stories about that.
Okay. So has there been time the vendors you felt dismissed you?
Oh, absolutely. Many times. It happens still. And so I'll just give you an example. So we won a grant, and I can't tell you who that is, but it was a national grant. And one of the requirements is for us to attend it's almost like an introduction of the grant. It's huge. One of our school received that grant, and they were going to have all iPads, one-to-one iPads. And that was way back when it's still new to all of us. And I attended with my executive director of teaching and learning and the principal that received the award. And we were, I believe it was in California, and learned a lot, so much goodness in that event. And one of the session is specific to technology directors, because there's this configuration, technical piece of what we needed to learn in order to make that grant a success. So I got there, and in that room, it's a session for only technology director. And I saw all male, but there's just few of them, and sitting in different spots. And then the panels are all male. So I walk in, and this gentleman in the panel said, announce general. And said, as I'm walking in, I smiled, and this gentleman said, just a reminder that this is for a technology director and to talk about some technical pieces of the grant. And so if you're not part of this, you might need to look at your sessions and find the right place. And I felt, as he was saying that, he was looking at me, and I felt that really small, like, look, I belong here. I am the director of technology for Franklin Pierce. And the whole time we had that session, every time I have questions, it felt ignored. Might not be their intention, but the impact is really real. And so what I did is that I looked for, it didn't feel good. That full session didn't feel good. And so I looked for the person that actually coordinated this event, filed a complaint. I find out later that the person that led that session was let go. Not sure what, if it was intended because of what happened, but it's a good example of really the experience that I get all of the time. It still happens, Mark. I have to prove myself 20 times, so much more than the rest of, I have to just say, a lot of white executives. And I'm confident to say this, that I'm more successful than they are. And as a woman, and as a woman in a leadership role, I feel that we have a better chance of succeeding because we have the empathy, we have the compassion, and we really just know how to pause and really think about the situation. It's not about, I just know everything. It's about, I want to know everything about you or about the situation before I move forward. So, yeah.
You think because of your experiences, I used to love to say, I'm not the smartest person in the room, but I know how to hire really smart people.
Yes.
So, because of your experiences, do you think that your team building and hiring and mentoring underneath of you looks different than it might be for some more traditional organizations?
Absolutely. If you look at the retention in my department, people don't leave my department. And if they do leave, it takes a while. I mean, people are leaving because they were promoted. That is my job. If they leave because they have joined an organization or a company that is a higher level of position, I did my job. When they do leave in a parallel position, I ask myself, it's almost like to me, what did I do that didn't really resonate with them or didn't help them get that position that they want? And so I take that personal. I have people that have left this district that are coming back and ask if I can be their mentor. I have somebody from Seattle Public School. She's in a higher up position and she's asking, can you mentor me? So those are just really such a compliment of who I am and my character. And at the end of the day, it's my integrity. A lot of my colleagues think of me as fierce, vocal, direct. I take those all as a compliment because as a woman in a technology leadership area, you have to be that. You can't be timid, submissive. You have to assert yourself because if you don't, they're just going to look at you as just this woman that got your position because maybe you're pretty to look at and nothing else. Or maybe you got your position because of your color of your skin. And so I don't think that that was. Well, that was my scenario then. I don't think it is now, Mark, because of my reputation, and how I approach things in a different light. So,
So, did you have a mentor? Was there a female available to you who could talk to you about that process?
okay. So at the early age, no, I did not. Actually, I was leading in a very, very navigating the dark space. And I think that's what drove me to being a better mentor because I don't want another person to be the Lisa from way back when. And so when I did finally get, I did it on my own. I looked at leadership conferences, workshops that I can kind of just push myself. That's when I decided that I don't have to be alone. I didn't need to be alone. At that time, we still have a predominantly white leadership in our this district at that time, and so that white privilege kind of mindset was there. And as a Filipino, we have this culture of chain of commands, right? And so I'm supposed to just bow and say yes sir, yes ma'am. And I almost quit because of that. And what I did is really tell myself that I belong here because I worked hard. And so no, I did it. Sadly, I actually mentored myself and just really create a an environment that says I belong here. I deserve this, and this is what I'm going to fight for. So,
So I just want to dwell on that for a minute.
yeah.
I had the advantage of having lots of mentors who had gone through what I did, right? I still, one of my mentors when I was a principal, still, he and I meet for coffee often. He's 76 and he's still my mentor going into retirement. But you didn't have that availability. But I know now, what are you doing to help that next generation? How are you, other than the people calling you back there, weren't you involved in women in coding and some other things?
In technology and coding. And what I do is in our district, I empower students, specifically girls, to really feel and believe that they have a space in the technology world. that's where I am really touching people, our students, saying that just because you're a woman, just because you're a young woman student, doesn't mean that you are limited. You can do whatever you want. You can be somebody that can build robotics stuff. You can code. You can do cybersecurity. And so that's where I lean towards, is not because people are reaching to me to be their mentor. I want to also go out there and make sure that I am mentoring and really empowering the students to do whatever they want. I mean, my God, sky is the limit. I am a testimony of that, but sky is the limit. I mean, look where I am now. So,
but growing up, you didn't get have the advantage of sitting in a classroom and seeing a Filipino woman executive, right?
Yes.
You didn't have that ability to have the model.
No.
I'm thinking of our generation. Well, you're much younger than me, but first generation. My wife,
yes.
I'll pick on, was the first female deputy to have a baby. They didn't know how to deal with that.
Yes.
So she had to be the first to wait and navigate through all that bureaucracy, right? Which is an amazing thing that then helped the others behind her. But you had that same struggle. Everything is twice or three times or four times as hard.
It's a challenge. And here's the thing, too. What's sad is that, okay, so when I grew up in the Philippines, well, and we left when I was 16 years old. So I've been here since I was 16. And that was back in 1984. English is our second language there. So when I got here, you know, my accent was very heavy. But I was an intelligent woman. But because of my accent, they meaning people that I work with or that I talk to, feel that is something that is a disability. And so they either would talk to you loud or they would say, "Do you understand?" And to me, it's just like, I don't understand why you're talking to me that way, because I do. And so at one point, I thought my accent is a disability. But my God, what a beautiful accent I have. And I really embrace that. And that's what I use as a tool to really assert myself, saying that, listen, buddy, I belong in that spot. In fact, I belong in that spot more than you do. And so, yeah, it's not because I found somebody that I said, okay, when I grow up, I'm going to be like her. It was more like I'm driven to really find ways to say that anybody in this organization or in this country is deserving of what they want if they work hard. It's just unfortunate that a person like me, a brown person like me, has to work 10 times and prove myself 10 times because of my ethnicity. And so, but I prevailed. It's just really been a journey for me. So,
you just opened the door to the immigrant experience in technology,
yeah,
which we do know that is a substantial percentage of the best and the brightest who come here and go to work in math and sciences and technology. Has that been, I don't know the right word, have there been models for you in that way? Was it just because technology is so exploding that it opened some doors possibly? But how does the immigrant experience connect with your story and professionally?
Yeah, so interesting enough. So if you are from the Philippines, they by default, they think that you are in the medical field because that's what they all are in the Philippines, is either you are a physician assistant, a doctor, or a nurse. So that's why I was a nurse first. I was a registered nurse before I got to be in a technology world. But sadly, that was not my calling. I knew that was not my calling. And so I worked for labor and industries, and I had a boss that really saw my talent in coding. And so I went back to get my computer science degree in programming. And I fell in love with it. But I don't know that I fell in love with it as much as I am in love with my position right now. Because if you know, Mark, a programmer needs focus and
That's not you.
No, that is not me. And I love to talk to people. And so when I moved to Olympic School District and became the business analyst, that's how I saw the other calling. And that was a very strong calling for me, is to be in technology and be with people as well. And then the opportunity came here in Franklin Pierce School District, where I became the I can't even computer analyst. And but I said to myself, this is not really what I wanted. I wanted to do more. And my boss at that time saw that I can manage a department because I'm a people person. See, it's building relationship. That's how you get where you are. You know that, Mark. That's why you're successful. It's building relationship. The technical piece is just a fraction of who you are and what you do. It's how you build relationship with people. So.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was just talking to another tech director recently in a different district, and the old argument in district tech directors is who listens here? Educator versus technician. And which is who? I think that an educator can learn the technology,
Yes.
but a technician possibly cannot learn the human relations piece and the magic that occurs in a classroom.
Yeah. Well, they can if they open their mind. They can if they say that the technical piece, I think that's what I had to accept, is that I don't need to know all the stuff about technology. All I need to know is to partner with the right people so that I can learn from them about technology. That's what who we are is that we get to have that. What's so amazing about life is that you get to connect with different people and learn from them. It's like, to me, those are opportunities, those are gifts. And even when I have challenges, I take them as a gift, because at the end of the day, how did I solve that problem? And then now it's a learning process for me. Then it's like a gift that, oh, I did that wrong, so now I know what to do with it. So it's a gift.
Well, I love it when you open the door to the next analyst I forgot. Because we brought in Angelina DeColby. She is a new member of the Micro K-12 team who is now shadowing and taking over sales accounts, right? And Angelina, welcome to Vetted. And by the way, Angelina has been the editor of Vetted for what, 6 months now, and is moving up in the world. But the great part is we're introducing a young salesperson to an experienced person who can help her. So Lisa, if you were going to talk to Angelina and say, entering this world, what are the keys as a woman? And, let's pick on that. Let's not pick on it, but let's discuss the challenges as a woman entering a male-dominated world.
Okay, so the very first thing you want to believe, truly believe, is that you belong there. You belong in that space. You do not let anyone otherwise change that mindset. You belong there and you be confident. And that's what I have done with mine, is that I'm confident that I can do this job. I belong here and no one can stop me. And that's pretty much it. And really believe that. You can say that, but if you don't believe it, it doesn't really help you. Really have that mindset of, I can do this. I will do this. And I will be there. And so, yeah.
What about every district, every leadership has a different culture, right?
Yes.
So someone coming in here had better respect diversity.
Yes, absolutely. Especially Franklin Pierce School District.
Yes.
Yes.
But if you're walking into some other districts, that culture may be different.
Yes.
So how do you suggest that pick on vendors, health vendors, or even people applying for jobs? How do you ascertain the culture of a district before you walk in? And you don't want to minimize who you are, but by the same token, be respectful of what you're walking into.
Share your belief. I think the beginning of your conversation with them is really just, don't be just abrupt with, this is what my belief, but really embed that to the conversations that you're having with them. Equity and diversity is just so important. And I think the reason why I said especially Franklin Pierce is because we are one of the few districts that have really heavily talked about diversity, equity, and social justice. And so for us, being a person of color, we feel so embraced and so welcomed here in our district. And so for a white person, right, and talking to somebody that is a brown person, maybe just really have that conversation, a true conversation about your belief, and really wanting to understand the history of the district and what you're working on. I mean, probing questions are also a good advice. I think when you probe for really good questions and good conversations, it really tells them that what your beliefs are, and that really backs up what you're saying. So that you're not just talking about it, that you really truly walk it. So,
yeah. I like that thing that you said about asking them about their area and the history of the area, because I do find that that's something people are so eager to talk about. Yeah. It makes me so proud of our state, you know?
Yes, yes.
Embracing the history and that enthusiasm for learning and continuing to learn, like you were saying earlier in the podcast.
Yes, yes. Thank you. See, she learned something from me already, Marsh. My day is over. I served my purpose.
But take it back to where we started the whole conversation.
Yeah.
It's all about relationships.
Yeah.
I'm not calling you to take an order.
Yeah.
I'm calling to check in on how you're doing. Right?
Yeah.
Calling to then question and query about how's the district doing.
Yeah.
We have districts that are struggling with different things right now, right? They may be struggling financially, may be struggling with security, they may be struggling with leadership changes. But honoring the struggle is honoring the human.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too. I have two different superintendents. So I'm not going to mention who they are, but my current one is the most amazing superintendent that I have worked for and with. Past superintendent didn't allow me to be vulnerable. And vulnerability is such a strength to a leader. Showing your vulnerability, meaning that you have compassion, that you care, and you're passionate about the work that you're doing. And so my former boss, I was having such a challenging time, and I went to his office, and I was in tears. And he said, if you're just going to cry in my office, you need to leave my office. And the only time that you are allowed to cry in my office is if you have a solution. He didn't even know what I was crying about. He just said that there's no crying here. If you're going to cry, you're going to have a solution as well. Now, fast forward to my current superintendent. This is, we have a, I think I mentioned to you, an incident. And this superintendent walks in here almost daily to check on us. And he tells us and reminds us, I have nothing but love for all of you. There's no claiming. There's no pointing fingers. And he always says, you are always welcome to my office, Lisa, and we can problem solve. That's the difference. And that's where I learned from, is the one that has that open heart, open door, open heart policy that will not judge you because you're vulnerable, that will help you walk that line with you and help you grow and help you find your ways. And he also says, if you make the decision, you have to own that. Regardless if it's a bad, ugly decision or if it's a successful, own it, because that's how you're going to learn. And so see the difference between those two superintendents? It's just, it really helps when you have a good leadership that really help you grow and just be a supportive. A sense of agency is what I'm saying, is that the support is there. Yeah.
I think with those brilliant words, we want to thank you for letting us take your time.
Yeah.
And thank you, Angelina, for coming down. And also remind everybody that the Tech Fest for October of 2025 are on the Micro K-12 website. You can...
I'm going to be doing a session.
Are you?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
I'm sure I'll be doing one, but I don't know what yet. But they're great events. They are free. They are high quality. And they're very much aimed at our tech directors and the people who work under them in more executive positions. But I've taken a couple of rising young stars.
You have?
I personally did, because I wanted them to see what could be.
I think that's the thing that I'm going to say to Angelina as we close this podcast, is that don't be afraid to be vulnerable and assert yourself and be confident. You belong there.
Thank you, everyone, and stay safe out there.